Here, first thing I'd like to say is Merry Christmas. So what an exciting time to just get our hearts and minds set on our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we know that's what it's all about. You know, Jesus is the reason for this season. And we know it as you put him first. Above all things, you know God is present in your body. I want to go ahead and start off with a word of prayer. Why don't we bow our hearts? Let's come before our Lord God in prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this very day, knowing, Lord, your holy presence is here. We just pray as we tune into your Holy Spirit voice, Lord, we're going to hear from you. We know, Lord, you're going to give us instructions on how to live life. And as we tune in, Father, I just pray our hearts will grow deeper and deeper in love with you. Because when we can say, Lord, we love you, we can know that you really mean it. And we will see, Lord, the transformation that will happen in our lives as we come with a heart that is wholly surrendered unto you. So, Lord, we pray that you will have your way in this time. We give it all to you now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. And everyone says,
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you take a look at your notes today, the title of my sermon is it all about the presence or presence? Now I got to tell you, when I was about 8 years old, my mom took me and my brother to this shopping mall. And she said, okay, you guys can start looking for your Christmas gifts. And at that time, you know, Japanese superhero action figurines were very popular. And you guys remember like Kaida, Kamen Rider, V3? You guys remember that, right? That was a long, long time ago. And we went to a store that carried a big supply of these toys. And when we went into the store, my brother and I, we let out a huge gasp. And we said, wow! Because, you know, it looked like they got a new stock of these toys. And all of our favorite superheroes. And, oh man, my brother and I remember we grabbed a shopping basket and suddenly my mom said, boys, pick only two now. And we're looking at each other. What? Only two? That's it? But then, as we were walking in the store, we noticed there was this section that had oversized action figurines, and some of them were made out of metal. And these ones were a little bit more expensive. They're ranging from $15 to $20, and in the 70s, hey, that's a lot of money, you know? So what did my brother and I do? Think we would pick out the cheap plastic toys? $2 or $3? No, of course not. What did? We grabbed four of the most expensive toys in the store. And at first, when we went to our mom, she kind of looked at us, come on, boys, too expensive. You know, and what did my brother and I do? We gave her a sad puppy. But mom, we love you. Christmas only once a year. Come on, we're not going to ask for this all the time. And so she kind of looked at us and guess what? She ended up spending like $60 that day. And when we got home, right, my father kind of just stood there. He was kind of like grinning and he shook his head and said, next time I'm taking them going shopping, not you. And you know what? Throughout my childhood, that's what I thought Christmas was all about, you know, about getting gifts, you know. If you really liked me, you would get me a really cool gift. If you didn't, I would say, forget about you, right? And that's the kind of mentality it seems a lot of people have during this time of the year. But you know, with the story of Christmas as we know it, right, a Savior was born. His name is Jesus, and we know we welcome him with whole heart knowing we're celebrating the birth of Christ. And we know during that time, visitors have come with some special gifts. I want you to look at your notes. I'm going to read to you what is called the Christmas story, Matthew 2, 1 through 11. It says here, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law and asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? In Bethlehem in Judea, they said, For this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. After this interview, the wise men went their way. And the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened the treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, there's this story of these 3 6-year-old boys who are playing the wise men in their church Christmas program. And as they came up to Mary and Joseph at the stable, the first one handed over his present and said, gold! And the second one presented the gift and said, myrrh! And the third one then gave his treasure and said, and Frank sent this! Cute, right? You can imagine how cute that was. And let me ask you, have you started your Christmas shopping yet? I know, you go to Alamona Shopping Center, the parking is just horrendous. I mean, trying to find a parking space is next to impossible. And the lines are crazy, right? You can be standing in a line for like a couple hours. I'm serious. And, you know, people are frantically doing their last minute shopping. And I've got to tell you about this little boy who paid a visit to Santa in the department store and presented him with a list of requests. And on the request, it says, a bicycle, a train, a bat and a ball, a rocket set, and an airplane. And Santa, he was kind of impressed with this list, you know, and he said, well, thanks for the list. I'll check between now and Christmas to see whether or not you've been a good boy. The little boy reached over to take the list back and said, never mind, I'll just settle for the bicycle. And today I want to share with you a message called, is it all about the presents or presents? You see, there's a different spelling for these two words. One ends with T-S, the other ends with C-E. Presents or presents. Now, let's face the fact, right? Most of us like to get presents. Who likes to get presents? All the little kids, all right? All of us, right? And I would like to say that most of us like to give presents too, right? Who likes to give presents?
Yeah,
oh, come on.
Yeah.
Much better to give than to receive, right? Yeah. Everybody say, yeah!
Yeah.
as parents, right, we want to please our children. So what do? We buy, and we buy, and we buy to please our children, right? And then we charge, right? And then we kind of get the bill and go, how am I going to pay for this? But what do you think? What do you think pleased the Lord the most? Was it the presence of gold, myrrh, and frankincense that the Magi brought? Or was it that the presence of Christ, the Christ child, was it that counted the most? Now, I want to say, kids, you got to relax, okay? Because sometimes, you know, they hear kind of this kind of message from a pastor, and oh, what you saying? Don't buy gifts? I'm not trying to convince parents to not buy gifts for their young ones, right? But I want you to realize that presence with a C-E is more important than presence with a T-S. And, you know, just think about this. Ask the hundreds of thousands of military men and women, right, serving on foreign soil, right, not here, you know, where they want to be, right, at home. You ask them what they would like to have for Christmas, and no doubt, what do you think they would say? I like to be home. I like to be with my family. And if you ask their wives, their husbands, their children, and parents the same question, what do you think they would say? Same answer, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'd give anything if they were at home. And ask the thousands and thousands of children in orphanages and foster homes, what would they like to have for Christmas? And what do you think they would say? I'd like to have a family. Someone I can call mom, mommy, and daddy. And you know, we can give our children, our family, our friends lots and lots of different kinds of presents for Christmas, but nothing will compare to our presents. With the CE. So look at that question there. What kind of presents can we share to our loved ones? Look at number one there. It says, give the presence of our Lord. Right in that blank, Lord. And letter A here, it says, share of Christ's presence and birth in the manger. You know, I got to share to you, one time this little girl came home from Sunday school and she was so proud that she had memorized a verse of scripture. You guys are familiar with John 3:16, right?
Yes.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Eternal life. But she recited it like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son. And think about that, right? You're going to laugh when you hear that. But, you know, when the Lord looks at the way Christmas is celebrated, I wonder if he really feels like, you know what? He's forgotten. Because we have the Christmas trees all lit up. The decorations are all over the landscape. But then you kind of look around, hey, where's Christ? Where's Jesus in this? You know, in our schools now, especially in the mainland, right, children have what are called winter breaks instead of Christmas break. There was a time where everyone called it Christmas breaks. Not anymore. They call it winter breaks because they don't want to offend someone. So, oh, we're going to have winter break now. And you know, nativity scenes have been banned from Christmas displays on government property. They're not allowed to do that. If they do, oh, they're going to get fined. They're going to get in trouble. And if you guys been to Honolulu City Lights, you know, in downtown, look, beautiful, yeah? You can just drive through and ooh, it's flashing lights and all that. You know, if you ever got out of your car and just walked around, you know what the main attraction is, right? What do you see first? Huge! Santa Claus, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're sitting, washing your feet, I don't know, doing something like that. And got a big shaka with his wife, right?
Yeah.
Now it's the main attraction, isn't it? And then you also have Frosty, the snowman, Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, and you got all those elves, and, you know, fully decorated Christmas trees with those beautiful dancing lights. You guys know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Then, somewhere in the corner, way in the back, you see baby Jesus in a manger with Mary and Joseph. And you know what? You can't really complain because most cases, they're totally absent. They're totally left out. But they're still there. But they're kind of hidden. You know what I'm saying? They're kind of like in a place where nobody really pays attention to them. And we got to make it clear. Let's shout it on the rooftop that Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen?
Amen.
We got to shout it out because that's what it's all about. And you kind of wonder why people are so stressed out, you know, when the Christmas season arrives. Because Jesus is not the reason for the season for them. Look what it says in Luke 2:7. It says there, she gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. She gave birth to her first child. That's what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. That we realize this is the time when we focus on our minds and our hearts that Jesus Christ was born on this planet Earth. He came down in the form of man. The greatest present that we can give to our children and our families and our friends is to share with them the presence of the Lord. And as we enter this holiday season, we're going to celebrate Christmas. Oh, let it be all about Jesus. Because you know what's a tradition in the UN household? What we do, we go to Sam's Club, we buy a birthday cake, right? And we put, happy birthday, Jesus. I remember one time I went to do that. We've been doing this for a number of years since, actually, I think the kids were born. And I remember I went to Sam's Club and I showed him, I wrote down, happy birthday, Jesus. And the lady kind of looked at me, oh, happy birthday, Jesus. I go, no, Jesus. Christ? I said, yes. Yeah, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. The world kind of look at you and go, really? You're giving a birthday cake to Jesus? Isn't that what it's all about?
Yeah.
And you know, we light the candles and we have to kids, you know, blow out the candles, you know, but our heart is focused on Jesus.
Amen.
Our heart and mind is focused on the fact that we know Jesus came in the form of a baby. And you know, we can give gifts that will soon be lost or forgotten, or we can share the presence of the Lord that is a gift that can last throughout eternity. Because do you think my kids, they will carry this on, they carry on this tradition?
Yeah.
I hope they will. Because we've been doing this for so long every year. But they're going to do it. You're going to do it with your kids, right? You better. No. You know, it's something we want to, you know, have our kids carry on.
Right.
Help them remember it's all about who?
Jesus.
It's all about you.
So that, that's how we just sang. It's all about you, Jesus.
All about Jesus.
And you know, this year as we gather around the tree, or as you have your family, you know, come together, pick out the Bible and read the Christmas story. And tell them the old story. You know, there's a hymn, you know, of this song called The Old Story. And let me read to you the lyrics. I really like it. It says, "Tell me the story of Jesus. Write in my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest. Peace and good tidings to earth." Ooh, isn't that what it's all about? Let's make certain that our families celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, his entrance into the world as a baby to become the Savior of all mankind. Well, let's look at letter B now. It says, share his presence on the cross. Share his presence on the cross. You know, there was this lady that went to the mall Christmas shopping with her two children. And after many hours of looking at loads of toys, you know, she finally made it to the elevator with her two kids. And she was feeling like so many of us feel during this holiday season of this time of the year, right? Overwhelming pressure to go to every party, to taste all the holiday food. You gotta eat it all, you know? And you know, all those treats and desserts and get that perfect gift for every single person on your shopping list. And with the pressure of making sure we respond to everyone who has sent us a Christmas card, right? We can't miss out anybody. So you think, I got so much to do, you know? And finally, the elevator doors open. And suddenly, she looked. There was a crowd inside the elevator. And so she pushed her way into the elevator and dragged her two kids with her with the bags of stuff, right? All the shopping that she had done. And when the doors closed, she couldn't take it anymore. She was sweating. She was all stressed out. And you know what she said? She says, "Whoever started this whole Christmas thing should be found, strung up, and shot." That's what she said. And from the back of the elevator, everyone heard a quiet, calm voice respond, "Don't worry, we already crucified him."
Wow.
Isn't Jesus the reason why we get all excited about Christmas?
Yeah.
You know, we realize the manger without the cross means nothing. Because, you know, some are content as long as the baby stays in the manger, right? But we must remember that what makes Christmas so special is the very fact that Jesus' presence was on the cross. He suffered. He hung there because of his great love for us. He knew this must be done in order for us to be drawn towards God once again, to our Father God. And Jesus came into the world with our Father God's plan to eventually sacrifice him on the cross so that we may be set free from the bondages of our sins. Look what it says there in Hebrews 9:22. It says, "In fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." Jesus, he knew this. There will be no forgiveness if he didn't do what he needed to be done. So he hung on that cross for all of us because he loved us so much. So he knew that we would be forgiven if he had to do this ultimate sacrifice for all of us. And we have to understand Christmas is all about the love of God. If you were to really ask yourself what Christmas is all about, that's what it is. It's about the love of God. Amen?
Amen.
Letter C here. It says, share his presence after the tomb. You know, the story doesn't end at the manger, but it doesn't end at the cross either. thank God for that, because the cross would have accomplished nothing if Jesus remained in the tomb. Did he remain there?
No.
No, he's what?
Risen.
He lives. And you know the second part of that song, the old, old story, I want to read it to you. It says, tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and in pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Love in that story, so tender, clearer than ever I can see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper. Love paid the ransom for me. I tell you, there's this little girl that stood staring through the glass from outside the store. She just was peering in like that, and tears were running down her cheeks as she looked at a picture inside the store, the window, where she saw Jesus hanging on a cross. And in this painting, Jesus' face, you can see, was in agony. And a man happened to stop by and see this girl look like she was in distress. And she asked the little girl, are you okay? But then he soon began looking at the picture in that window too. And after he started to walk away after 30 seconds or so, you know, this little girl stopped him and said, Mister, said, I think you should know this. He lives. And suddenly the man looked at him. He said, yes, he lives. Look what it says here in Luke 24, 22 to 23. It says, then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing. Praise God. His body was missing. And they had seen angels who told them Jesus is what?
Alive.
Yeah. So you got to remember, Jesus was in the manger, but he also went to the cross. He then went to the tomb by then. Oh, he was missing, praise God. Because, you know, he resurrected like he said he would. He would come back alive. Now he lives, as the Bible tells us. He lives in our hearts. And my favorite song is Because He Lives. One of my favorite hymns. Because He Lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He Lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living. Just because what? He lives. And we realize that baby, little baby in the manger grew up. He went to the cross and died giving himself as a ransom for all the world, and he lives. Praise God. He lives. Amen?
Yes.
But look at letter D now. It says, share his presence. In the clouds. In the clouds. And the good news about Christmas is that it doesn't end in a manger. It doesn't end in a cross. It doesn't even end in a tomb. But one day, Jesus shall return in the what?
In the clouds.
And we, I'm talking all of us here, will forever be our Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that?
Yes.
You better believe it. Yes. That's what the Word of God tells us. For those who believe in Christ forever with God, because it tells us we're going to meet Him up in the air. It will take us with Him. And we will forever be in the glory presence of God. Look what it says in Revelation 1:7. It says here, look, He's coming with the clouds. And every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. And we realize, he's coming in the clouds, but he's coming for us. Amen. And that's what we look forward to. We just don't keep the baby Jesus in the manger. We know the end of the story. Amen.
Amen.
And we know because the Bible tells us so. We're going to be forever with God. Look at number two here. It says, give the presence of your love. Your love. Write in that blank, your love. You know, this one person, he decided, you know what, I'm going to see what children's response, what the response would be if I were to ask them, what would they prefer? Would they prefer a new bicycle or an hour playing with mom or dad? And they answered without hesitation. What do you think they answered?
Bicycle.
Oh, give me the bike. You know? Oh man, I can spend time with them and I want my bike, right? But think about this, 20 years from now, right? The thing that will mean the most and probably be remembered the most will be presence. Presence, right? Parents had with them. Not so much your presence to them, it's your presence. You know, I got to tell you about my most memorable Christmas gift. And I remember this, you know, it was from my parents, but I remember my dad bought it for both my brother and I. You guys remember Rock'em Sock'em Robots?
Yeah.
The red and blue, you remember them, brother?
Yeah.
The one you get the two buttons, you press it and you go, boink,
yeah.
Boink, like this, and it goes like that. And then when you hit the head, right,
hard enough,
boom, boink. You know what I'm talking about, right? Rock'em Sock'em Robots. And yeah. I remember after my dad bought it, he knew that we wanted that because it was like the talk of the town. Every kid wanted it, right?
Yeah.
And after he got it for us, I remember my brother and I were jumping up and down. Yeah. But it took time to assemble it, right? My dad, he spent like, I think, 45 minutes. You know, assembling it for me and my brother. We were actually doing it all together, and he was looking like he was kind of excited too, you know? He was probably a big kid at heart too. And so after we put it all together, I remember he would spend hours playing it with us. He'd be sprawled out on the ground. My dad, he's not like that. You know, he's very serious, he's really kind of quiet. But I remember we were like, yelling, yeah, and then, you know, I'll be cheering for my dad, yeah, punch out my brother, come on, you know, telling my dad, and we just were just having a ball. We're having such a good time, and I gotta tell you, I was just thinking about this, you know, I gotta tell you, this wasn't one of the best gifts I received as a kid, because I remember, like, I would say, like, you know, remember Atari, you know, the video game when it first came out, oh man, that was really something that excited kids, and my dad eventually bought that for my brother and I, too. But you know what? What made this one so special was that he spent time with us.
Man.
He didn't just give it to us and, okay, go have fun. Because it was kind of like that with Atari. It was my brother and I that played. He didn't play that. But I remember the Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Because every time I think about it, I think about my dad. He passed away in 1999. It seems like every time Christmas comes along, I think about the Rock'em Sock'em Robots. And I don't think so much about the toy. Think about that time my dad was willing to spend time with us, his two sons. That touches my heart, you know? And so we gotta make those times with our kids too, because you know, you heard, time is short. We gotta be willing to spend that time with our loved ones, because you know what? Sooner than you know, they're grown up, and I gotta tell you, they'll remember those times. It's like how I remembered it, because It is very special to me. I remember just all the laughing and, oh, just my mom kind of looking at us and, oh, now I got three kids now. But letter A here, it says, give them attention. Give them attention. And you know, one of our biggest weaknesses as parents is the area of listening. And I admit, sometimes, you know, we think like as parents, we got to say it all. And sometimes, you know, my kids will say, but dad, no, la, 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 la. But dad, la, 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 right? And sometimes we gotta get the liver, we gotta listen to them. Because we know we are the ones to lay down the law, right? We gotta set the record straight when they're out of line, right? But here's the thing, we can be failures of parents if we don't give them our attention to listen to them when they need us to hear them out. That's what I gotta do. Sometimes I'll say, okay, yeah, Abigail, you agree with me, right? Sometimes I say, Abigail, go ahead. And Abigail can talk for hours. No, I'm just kidding. And I'll just try my best to listen, right? And I realize that's important, even for Benson, not so many words, but it's okay, right? I just wanna say, Benson, go ahead. Talk to me, you know? And that is so important, I really believe. For our kids and our children, they need for us to look at them. When was the last time you look at your child? To listen to their stories, to watch their performances. You know, several years ago, I remember my daughter performed ballet in the Nutcracker. That was only like 3-4 years ago, I think. And you know, after the performance, you know, my wife and I, we gave her roses. We're so Oh, you know, you know what I'm talking about as a parent.
Yeah.
Oh, my little baby's up there. You know, and after we gave her the roses, we said, oh, you were so awesome. But then suddenly, my son, he just blurted out, but Dad, I saw you sleeping. I said, yeah, but she wasn't performing. I gotta be honest, I ain't no fan of ballet, right? But I'm there because I want to be there for my daughter, amen?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's true, I kept my eyes open like that. I said, yeah, my baby girl. You know? And that's what we do, right? Because we want to show them, hey, we love you. We're there for you. You know, we want to support you. I was so proud of her, you know? But isn't it true? Come on, parents. Sometimes we get too busy for our own family. And I admit, sometimes it can be a problem for me. The Lord, He speaks to me, I tell you. Dan, I know what your schedule is like today. You got to counsel some people. You got to pray for some people. Well, I want you to spend time with your children today. I hear that. And sometimes I'll tell John, you know what? I want to spend time with the kids or spend time with you or whatever. You know, it's like, and we got to really make an effort to that because you know what? It can just be neglected. And sometimes listen to that voice because He'll talk it to you. Sometimes you think, I got to do it. I got more important. No. God says, spend time with your family. And I say, okay. Okay. You know, Socrates, you know, this philosopher, he once wrote, this is what he said. Listen to this. He says, could I climb to the highest places in Athens? I would lift up my voice and proclaim, fellow citizens, why do you turn and scrape every stone to gather wealth and take so little care of the children to whom you must someday give it all to? Wow. And we realize, you know, what he's trying to say is, you know what? You're going to end up giving all this, all what you own. You know, it's all going to be given to your kids. And we realize our attention to be on our children and give them guidance in life. Listen to what Solomon says about his father David. Let's look in your notes. Proverbs 4, 3 to 4. This is Solomon talking about his father David. He says, for I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me, and he said to me, take hold of my words with all of your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live. This is what David said to Solomon. Did Solomon take it to heart? You better believe it. And we realize when we speak words of life upon our children, they're going to take it. They're going to listen. If you say it with your whole heart, if you can exemplify what you tell them, amen? If you show them the Word of God, they know that, hey, you're living the Word of God. They're going to take it to heart. Well, letter B here, it says, give them affection. And it's so important. We gotta let our homes be filled with the love of God. When people enter into your home, do they see a stressed out situation, a stressed out family? Do they see an environment where it's all stress? Because when we say we have the love of God in us, it should be wherever we go. Right? There should be love for the Lord, love for our spouses, and love for our children. And I got to talk to you men. You know, it has been said that the greatest thing that we can do for our children, you know what it is? Is to love their mother. And sometimes I know I got to step it up. We all do, man. Come on. Come on, right? We got to love our wives. Even more. I gotta tell you, I'm working on it. I'm not saying I arrived. Come on now. I know it takes work, and we must put in the work. Amen.
Yeah,
and, man, we gotta encourage each other. This way, you know, because parents, you know, we gotta let our children know that, yeah, mommy and daddy, we love each other, and you gotta show to them, yeah, we love you, right? Because a lot of times, when they have insecurities, you know, they think, oh, I wonder if mom and dad, are they okay, you know? They have all these insecurities. Guess what? They go through life just full of anxiety, full of worry. We gotta assure them, yeah, you know what? The love of God, the love of Christ is present in this household. Because when there is a strong spirit of love and affection in the household, guess what? It's been found in many, many studies. There is great success for every, just about every family member in every area of their lives in regards to their health. It's a, people are less likely to get certain kinds of diseases. You know, when there is full of affection and love in the household, and even their relationships outside, whether it be at school or at work, you know, even their finances, you see how everyone's just doing well. Why? Because of the love and affection that's in the family unit. And I realize, you know, for all of us, you know, we gotta really make sure of that. I gotta ask myself, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Because sometimes I get distracted too. Sometimes the Lord will speak to me and say, Ben, come on. You're a dad. You know, you're a husband. Do your part well. And I say, yes, Lord. We got to listen. Because the Lord, He will speak to you like that. Look what it says here in 2 Peter 1, 7 to 8. It says, and to godliness, mutual what? Affection. And to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in what? Increasing measure. It's very important. It says it has to be increased. It doesn't stay just the same. Your love and affection towards each other should be increasing. Because if it just stays the same, you know, it gets to a point where, really? You love me? You know, it has to be increased at every time. It says, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, Peter is saying, if you don't let your affection and love increase, you can't be very productive with all the knowledge you may have about our Lord Jesus Christ. It means nothing. Because doesn't the Bible say that? You can speak with the tongues of men and angels and all this, but if you have not what? Love. You are a resounding gong. You're just a noisy thing. The Bible says it's important we love first of all things. Amen? And we realize here, it says mutual affection. What does mutual mean? Does it mean one way? No, it means both ways. Because one person could be trying, and the other person is not, you know, receiving or not doing their part. Guess what? It's not going to come. And we must find solutions through the Word of God, through the voice of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible tells us we must create that peace within our household. We must do our part. We must humble ourselves to the point we're going to say, Lord, I'm going to do whatever it takes to bring forth peace into my family's household. Look what it says in Romans 14, 19. It says, let us make what? Every. Just a little bit effort? No. Every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Are you doing whatever it takes? Because sometimes, you know, I'll counsel couples, you know, husband and wife, and the husband says, oh, I'm trying so hard, and, you know, I've done all this, and you know, I said, so what did you do? You know, sometimes I talk to them, and after a couple weeks, you know, several weeks pass by, and, you know, I said, well, I bought her a bouquet of flowers. I said, okay, that's good. And what else did you do? That's it? Hello. Did you say anything to her, or, you know, did you, you know, show her that you love her? No, that's all. I said, brother, that's not every effort. You got to keep on doing it. You know what I'm saying? Keep on hearing from the Holy Spirit. Keep on moving. Keep on showing this person that you mean. You mean it when you say nothing to them. It has to come from where? Your heart. It doesn't just come from your mind. It has to come from your heart. And if it comes from your heart, you're going to keep on doing it. Because you know what? When there's a lot of yelling and arguing going on in the household, there is no rest for a weary soul. You know, and I have to admit, sometimes I know I raise my voice. My kids will tell you, right? Sometimes people say, oh, Pastor, I can't imagine you ever raising your voice. Well, you know what? Johnny, what she's looking at me. And sometimes I do, right? You know, sometimes I'm just under a lot of stress. What are you doing? You know? A lot of times, but Johnny knows too. If I, you know, raise my voice and, you know, I shouldn't have, I'll go back. I'll go back to her, I'll go back to the kids and say, you know what, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. You forgive me. That's important because, you know, we're going to make mistakes, right? But are you going to make it right? If you have a humble heart, you will make it right. If you do truly have the humility of Christ. You know, comedian Robert Orban, this is what he said in his statement. He says, who can ever forget Winston Churchill's immortal words? You know Winston Churchill, right? Prime Minister of Great Britain, right? You know, during time when there was war going on in his country. This is what Winston Churchill says. He says, we shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. And we shall fight in the hills. And then the comedian comments, you know what? Doesn't it sound exactly like our family vacation? Sometimes it does, right? You see, like, we're fighting here, we're fighting there, everywhere we go, we're fighting. And we gotta realize, we gotta stop and say, what are we doing? We're a family here, right? And you know, there's this author of Reader's Digest, and he writes about the Amish people, and to get a better understanding of the Amish people, he's visited this community of Amish, you know, families. And his observation, listen to this, in his observation in the schoolyard, he was looking, you know, at all the children, you know, during recess time. He noted that the children never screamed or yelled. And this kind of amazed him. He says, you know, usually you see kids, right, they're like, ah! He's like, you can't catch me, rah! You know, they're like all over the place, right, just yelling and screaming. And they're just real calm. And they're not yelling. And so he went to the schoolmaster, and he remarked that he never heard one Amish child yell. And he asked the schoolmaster, why is that? How come no kid is like yelling their heads off, right? And the schoolmaster replied, well, have you ever heard an Amish adult yell?
Yes.
Think about that. Why do you think kids yell? Because they're copying the parents. And sometimes I realize if my kids are yelling and screaming, I'm thinking, is it because of us? Look at me, right? Hey!
You
think about that, right? No screaming, right? Doesn't seem like when we're screaming, guess what? They're screaming too. And you heard of Michelle Duggar? She's a reality TV star. The show, is it 19 or 18? 19. She had 19 kids. Cool. Unreal. 19 wow. Kids and counting. It seems to happen some more. And you know what? She said, I like this. And she does it because we watch her show. And she's a very Christian family. I don't really like, you know, the values that they portray and all that. But she says the secret for her and her husband to maintain a peaceful household, guess what? They make it a point to whisper to their kids when they feel like they're a little upset, you know? Because usually we say, Charlie, put that down! So she would go right to the kid, Charlie, put that down. I don't know how she does it, but in her show, she does that. She, when she, you know, she's getting upset, she's kind of turning red in the face. You shouldn't be doing that. You know what? It works. Because their children are trained. They see it. Their mommy doesn't react. So they're calm too. They go, okay. And I'm going, whoa, imagine if that could happen. You know, and that's how, boy. We got to realize, we know we're blaming our kids, but maybe it's us.
Yes.
Think about it.
Yes.
And if we are to kind of cool it down, maybe they will too. And because when the parents yell at their kids, it triggers them to yell back. That's what they found in these studies. And boy, if you can really apply this, it's probably not going to work right away, right? Because you got to be patient. You got to keep on doing it. And you know what? Brothers and sisters, we can't fall into the trap of believing that the holiday season is supposed to be a stressful time. Because a lot of people, you know, they say, oh, here comes the Christmas season. Oh, man, I'm going to be yelling at everybody. I'm going to be so stressed out. That's what people say. I hear that. When the Christmas time comes, oh, man, what a stressful time. Oh, man, oh, I'm going to be stressed out. But you know, if you are a Christian, you're a believer. We gotta remember it is a time of great joy. If you remember, it's all about who?
Jesus.
Not about yourself, right?
No.
It's all about Jesus. You know you're not going to be stressed out. You're going to have such joy in your heart. And we've got to make it a point that we're going to spend time with our family to laugh, to enjoy each other's company. Yeah, even if you don't want to, you do it. Is that I'm going to enjoy this time with my family. You know, there's this relationship expert and author. Her name is Gretchen Rubin. And this is her statement. She says, "Laughter is more than just a pleasurable activity. When people laugh together, they tend to talk and touch more and to make eye contact more frequently." And we realize, you know, Christmas is all about the love of God. And if we can come together as a family and just laugh. You guys ever had a good belly laugh? There are times, you know, when you know we're together, just the four of us, me, Johnny, and the kids, and we say something funny. You guys ever had the belly laugh? We just keep on, and we can't stop. And you know, every time, you know, we do that, we say, okay, stop it, I'm getting a sore stomach, stop it. And then everybody stop, and then somebody starts to let out a giggle, right? And then everybody's like, I gotta tell you, when we do that, have you ever done that?
You just feel so energized.
You see, you just come for that energy, that spirit of joy just comes.
Amen.
We gotta find things that we can do with our families that bring out that kind of laughter. Because laughter, I mean, it really touches your soul. Look what it says there in Psalm 126:2. It says, "Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them." And you just ask yourself, has the Lord done great things for you in your life?
Yes.
Well, if he has, you should be laughing up a storm.
Yep.
Yeah?
You should be.
Well, where aren't we? Sometimes I see some of you. You come here. You know?
Let's laugh.
We gotta lit up. Come on, lit it up. The laughter. Gonna laugh. You know, your spouse and your kids, but somebody walks in, they're gonna go, "Oh, what a crazy family, right?" But it's okay. You know what? That's what laughter does. It touches the very core of your soul.
Amen.
And let's make it a point, all right? Can we laugh more? Laugh more. Please laugh more. All right? And smile and be joyful. Well, let us see here. It says, "Give them approval." And you know what? I gotta tell you, as parents, you know, we can be quick when it comes to noticing when our children louse up, right? When they make mistakes. Because, "I didn't do that. Why did you do that?" You know? And what they need most is our approval when they do things right. But when they don't, guess what? They need our encouragement to make things right. We gotta be there and say, "You know what? I'm gonna to help you out. I'm going to support you, you know. Let's get things right, you know." And I remember reading a story sometime back about this lady who was taking her children to see their grandmother. And she told her children as they were driving over to grandma's place, she was telling her, "Make certain that they clean their feet before entering the house, because grandmother had just bought new carpeting in her living room and she was so proud of it. And it's a white carpet." Okay? I don't know what she was thinking. She got grandchildren, you know? But so the family arrived at grandmother's, and the children were careful to wipe their feet first. Let's not get grandma's carpet dirty. And soon after arriving, grandmother gave them some Kool-Aid. Guess what flavor? Fruit punch. And cookies. What's grandma thinking anyway, you know? I'll just give them water, you know. But the mother warned the children, Don't take it into the living room because that's a new carpet. But little boy Charlie, right, soon I ventured off into the living room. That's what happens. She spilled his entire cup of Kool-Aid all over the carpet. This big red spot on this carpet. And the little boy was so scared, and he tried to wipe it up with his shirt. You know, no, I'm going to be killed now. And it didn't work. It just made it even worse. It was spurting out now, you know. And soon he started to cry. And grandmother quickly came to his side, and the little boy began to tell her how sorry that he had spilled his Kool-Aid on the carpet. But before he could say another word, the grandmother looked at him and said, "Honey, don't worry. I'll get you some more Kool-Aid." See what the grandmother was focused on? Not about the carpet. She said, "No, I'll get you more Kool-Aid. It's okay." And, you know, that's a pretty cool, you know, granny there, you know? She had her priorities right. She knew that the little boy learned a valuable lesson without scolding him, and she knew what he needed most from her at that moment. What was
love?
Love, right? Affection. And these are the things that are most important. And we gotta let the love of God come out. Because sometimes I know when my kids do something wrong, right? Why did you do that? You know, and sometimes, you know, the Lord will say, "Come on, man. Remember when you were a kid? Did you ever do those kinds of mistakes?" I said, "Lord, you really had to remind me of that, you know, all those things that I've done." And then I kind of start to cool off a little bit. And we realize it's important. We got to encourage one another. Look what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It says there, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." And we are to encourage and what? Build each other up. The word there is edify. It means to bring each other up. Bring what? How do you bring someone up? Bringing up their emotions. You know, they may be feeling down. You're going to build them up. You're going to encourage them. You say, "Come on, it's okay. It's like that grandma. Hey, don't worry about it. You know, I'll get you another cup of tea." And you know what? We can buy our kids presents for Christmas, but make certain they know the presence of your love. It's about the presence, C-E, not T-S. About the C-E, the presence. Your presence. Show them that you really love them. I want to tell you about this lady. Her name is Marjorie Talcott. And she was married, and she had one child during this time known as the Great Depression. You guys know the Great Depression, right? And the family had managed to scrape their way through, you know, the year, you know, trying to save every penny that was earned. But as Christmas approached one year, Marjorie and her husband were disappointed because they now realized they may not be able to buy any presents for each other and for their little ones. And a week before Christmas, they explained to their six-year-old son, Pete, that there will be no store-bought presents this Christmas. And the father did say, though, "Tell you, Pete, what we can do, though, we can make pictures of the presents we like to give to each other. Make pictures." And so Marjorie and her husband got right to work, started, you know, drawing all these things, and soon enough, little Pete started to join in with them. And you know, Christmas Day arrived, and the family, they woke up, they rose to find that their skimpy little tree was made magnificent and beautiful by the picture presents they had adorned it with. They had drawn pictures of what they would like to give to each other. And there was luxury beyond imagination in those pictures. You know, for the father, there was a black limousine and a red speedboat. And for the mother, they drew a diamond bracelet and fur coat. And for little Pete, they drew a camping tent and a swimming pool. And then Pete pulled out his present. You know what it was? It was a crayon drawing of a man and a woman and a child with their arms wrapped around each other, laughing. Under the picture was just one word. You know what that word was? Us. Us. Years later, Marjorie writes that it was the richest, most satisfying Christmas they had ever had as a family. And it took a presentless Christmas, presentless Christmas, to remind Marjorie and her family that the greatest gift that we can ever offer to one another is what? Ourselves. Our presence. This great gift. Guess who offers that to us? Christ. And we know that it's not only at Christmas that God gives His presence. When is it? All year around. He continually gives of Himself. And we realize as we set our minds upon Christ, as we know it's not about the gifts, about the stuff. Guess what? His presence, it gets stronger. It becomes more magnified when we realize it's all about Jesus. And I got to tell you, you know, in Wellington, Florida, they had this incident that happened not too long ago. You know what? They had a nativity scene at this community center. And guess what was stolen? Baby Jesus. Somebody took baby Jesus from the manger. And it so happened, this baby Jesus was made out of porcelain. And it cost like well over like $1,000. But you know what? The funny thing is, the village officials, they didn't have to follow a star to locate the baby Jesus. You know why? Because the owners put a GPS, a global positioning device, right? They put it inside of the baby Jesus, and they found him. The baby Jesus was found face down on the carpet in this apartment. It was taken by this 18-year-old woman. She was arrested in the step of the baby Jesus. And think about this. You know, I was just kind of meditating on this, and we know what GPS stands for, right? Global Positioning System, right? But I believe as Christians, we have the GPS. Also, guess where it is? It's in our hearts. But you know what? GPS doesn't stand for Global Positioning System. It means God Positioning System. Because you know what? If your heart and mind is focused on Jesus, He positions our hearts towards Christ. And if you can put your mind, your heart upon Jesus, you know you're not going to be stressed out. You're not going to be full of worry and anxiety. Oh, what am I going to do? I'm going to get this gift. No. You know the thing about the GPS, right? I'm talking about the GPS in your car. You know when it tells you to go a certain direction, right? It says, turn right, the next stop. And we keep going straight. What does it do? It says, recalculating, and you know, we have a choice, don't we? And we have this GPS in us. During this time of the year, God may be saying, hey, recalculate, man. You're going the wrong direction. You're going in the ways of the world. You're getting stressed out. You're getting burnt out. You're getting full of anxiety because your mind, your heart is not focused on my Son, Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit may be saying, recalculate, turn, go back to my Son, Jesus. You know, as you do that, if you can hear the Holy Spirit telling you, okay, redirect, go off, go back to where I want you to go. Suddenly, as you do as the Lord tells you, you're not going to be stressed out anymore. Because you're going to have joy come in. You're going to realize it's all about Jesus. Look what it says here in Psalm 16:7. It says here, I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. Wow, look at the psalmist writes it. Even at night, my heart instructs me. Who is that instructing him, by the way? The Holy Spirit. As He speaks to you, you know, listen. If you feel like you're getting a little stressed out and go, why do I have to go through all this stuff during this time of the year? Stop yourself. What is the real reason about Christmas? And if you can really let the Holy Spirit speak to you in that way and you follow Him, you'll know what the true meaning of Christmas, what it's all about. I want to show you this clip, Benson. Can you go and play it so we can understand what the true meaning of Christmas is all about?
there for what? Oh, honey, that's not for 3 weeks. Go do your homework.
Mom? Is it time now?
2 more weeks, honey. 2 more weeks.
Stressed out, we're not gonna be burnt out, and you know, this Christmas, if you only give your children just the presents, you know, you're gonna lose out what the meaning of Christmas is all about. Because yeah, we can give, don't leave that out, but remember what the true heart of Christmas is all about. Because we make it a point that we're gonna give them our presents, amen. And you realize, yes, Jesus really is the Jesus of all this season. I've got one more video to show to you, and I'm not going to play it. Let's really get our heart, our mind, our soul, our spirit on our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a song that really touches my heart. I hope it touches yours too. Vincent, can you go and play it?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
Can you give that offering to our Father God? And we make it a point here to realize we're going to give presents. I'm talking about the presence of the seed, presence of the Lord, the presence of our love to our family and to our loved ones. Remember, yeah, this time of the year, we can exchange presents. But most important, let's exchange presents that we can offer to each other in love. Amen? And as you do, you got the true heart. You got the true meaning of Christmas. Amen? Because it's not about us. God doesn't want it to be about us. It's about His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's about the very fact that God puts in our heart to love. The very reason we can love is because Christ, God, loves us first. Amen? As we let that love continue to grow in our hearts, know that you're not going to have the stress and anxiety like everyone else has, because we know we got the peace of God in us. The love of God is strong in our hearts and in our souls. Amen? Praise God. Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts before our Father God? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the message spoken today. And I pray, Father, as we go out into the world, Lord, where we know many people don't know you yet. I pray, Lord, we will truly remember what the reason for this season is. It's all about Jesus. And as we can remember that, we know we're not going to let the stressors of this world bog us down. Now, we're going to walk out there and people will truly know that we have the love of God strong in us. The presence of God is strong within our souls. I pray, Father, you will help us, Lord, not to be like the world, because we know we're in this world, but we are not to be of it. We are to be like Christ. Help us, Lord, to be more like Jesus, because He is the reason, the very reason why we can love, the reason why we know that your love will never leave us. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I kind of realized that maybe I got sucked in too, to believe what Christmas is all about. It's all about the presents and all the shopping and all the decorations and the lights. But I've forgotten Jesus. But you're saying to yourself, I'm going to make it a point that I will not leave Jesus out. This Christmas, my heart will be focused on my Lord and Savior. If this is the cry of your heart, you're going to say, Lord, I'm going to make it all about you. Not just during the Christmas season, all year around. This whole year, I dedicate unto you, Lord, that Jesus will be my main focal point in everything in my life. And if this is the cry of your heart, that you're saying, Lord, I surrender to you. I give all of me unto you. With all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, can you raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm going to make it a point that Jesus is the reason for everything, for the season, for my life. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Raise your hand up high and say, that's me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Right, you put your hands down. Why don't we pray? Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message spoken today. And Father, I pray, Lord, as your Holy Spirit speaks to us, even as we leave the sanctuary, Father, that truly we're going to remember what Christmas is all about. And Father, we're going to tell the whole world that Jesus Christ lives. And we're going to proclaim it with a heart that is so sincere, that is so genuine. The people, they're going to make a decision for Christ also. It's based upon how we live. I thank you, Lord, knowing that you love us so much. I pray you will give us strength and boldness to do whatever you call us to do. For it's all about you. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I heard people talking about having a relationship with God, with His Son, Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started in something like this? Well, you can start off by praying a simple prayer, but it must come from your heart. And if you're crying out to God and say, Lord, I tried living life my way and I'm getting nowhere. Lord, will you direct me? Will you show me how to live? You know, our Father God, He'll be so glad to show you how to do that. He will show you His Word. His Holy Spirit will speak to you. As you come upon problems in life, He will give you answers. And if you're making a decision right now, saying, Lord, I'm not going to do it my way anymore. I'm going to do it your way. Lord, I surrender my life to you. If this is the cry of your heart, saying, Lord, I submit to you. I give you all of me unto you. Will you raise your hand right now and say, yes, Lord, I give my life to you. Praise God. Anyone else? Raise your hand up high and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise God. Praise Jesus. Anyone else? All right, you can put your hands down. Let's pray this prayer out loud. Let's pray together. Say, Father God, I need you.
I need you.
I give you praise for who you are.
I give you praise for who you are.
I believe in you.
I believe in you.
I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ.
I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ.
Who died for me on the cross.
Who died for me on the cross.
But on the third day,
he rose again.
And he lives in my heart.
And he lives in my heart.
I give you praise for that.
And Father God,
I confess that I'm a sinner.
But your word says,
if I confess of my sin, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God, so that everyone can hear me. And so that I can hear myself. And so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord.
I live for him.
I live for him only.
I am property of Jesus Christ.
Father God, write my name in your book of life. For I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen. Let's all